The Last Word Gadget Show with Matt Cooper.
And Currys PC World and Carphone Warehouse.
And so it's time for the 2020 Gadget Show. In association this year with Currys PC World, we have so many goodies to discuss between now and 7 o'clock. Andy O'Donoghue, our Tech Tuesday expert, is with us throughout proceedings. But we're joined for the first section by Aoife Barry from thejournal.ie and by our own Ed Smith, presenter of Ed's National Anthems and Ed's Songs of Praise here on Today FM. And Ed, I'm actually going to start with you. We're going to start with wireless earbuds.
Okay.
Because I think an awful lot of people are getting now these to replace the ones with the wires. You've had a look at one particular Sony.
Yes, they're increasingly popular, and like many people, I've gone through about maybe six pairs at this stage. I made the fool mistake of going cheap, and I think when you maybe don't spend the money that you should on these things, you kind of get a bit more laissez-faire with their whereabouts. So these are called the Sony WF-1000 XM3. Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Doesn't it just?
Very cosy, cute name.
But they're Bluetooth noise
Yeah, wireless
cancelling
Bluetooth
earbuds.
Noise cancelling earbuds from Sony, priced at $179 from Currys PC World. First impressions, I have to say, I have them here in front of you. You can have a quick look. They're a handsome looking earphone. So the case that it comes in, a little chunky, it's a little heavier and bigger than maybe what people are used to with AirPods and the likes, but you can really feel the quality. The earbuds themselves, if you're used to the kind of stalky AirPod ones that kind of come down the side of your ear, these may be not the ones for you because they will take some getting used to you. They'd feel very comfortable in the ear, I have to say. And really and truly, these blew me away. The sound from these is excellent. But with most of these smart earbuds, they will come with an app. So you have to download the app onto your phone, and through the app, then you can adjust your equalizing, increase your bass and whatnot. What the noise cancelling comes in here very handily. If you're in a busy airport, for example, or a train station, it will adjust the sound accordingly.
About battery life?
Battery life is good. So with it will go on a charge for about, well, from what my research, 4.7 hours. Mm. 10 minutes, if you just pop them into the case for 10 minutes, you'll get an hour and a half out of them, which is what most people would need, I think, for any kind of commute, be it by train or foot or whatever. If you fully charge the battery or the case, you'll get three charges out of them. That takes about 3 hours. So the battery life I found very impressive.
Are they compatible with all phones?
Yes. Yeah, as long as you've got Bluetooth. The only thing I will say about these, they're not waterproof.
Oh.
Which is an odd oversight from Sony, considering how much effort they put into the design and the spec on these.
Waterproof, if you're in heavy rain, you have to take them out.
I mean, we're in Ireland. Yeah. Well, they'll just melt. They might break.
Okay.
So, and then one other thing I will say, if you're a jogger and you want these for sporty activities,
maybe not
the ones for you, they might fall out. And if you're sweating, they're not going to work. So, but other than that, for any audiophiles out there, absolutely love them. Big, rich, beautiful bass sound.
Aoife Barry from thejournal.ie, you got a set which actually, I think, go over the ear, don't they? Which are designed for use if you are going for a run or a cycle or whatever.
Yeah, so they're called the Powerbeats Pro, and they come in a really classy little package here. And the difference between them and the other ones that you might be talking about is that they have that little over-the-ear bit. So it's like this flexible bit that goes over your ear. Now, they are aimed at people who, are running or just going for a walk. Or if you, like me, which is how I use them, I'd be more afraid that if I use the ones that don't have over-the-ear, that they just fall out of my ear and they'd tumble down a grate somewhere. So that's what's put me off getting the other ones. I did find that trying to put them on initially, they're quite fiddly, but once you get the knack of them, they're just stuck onto the ear and you really don't feel like they're going to fall off or that you'll knock them off or anything like that. They charge in the case, they hook up to your phone with Bluetooth. If you're an Apple user, you're absolutely sorted because you literally like turn on the headphones, turn on your phone, and immediately you get a pop-up saying, these are your Bluetooth headphones, connect.
Oh, because Beats is part of Apple, isn't it?
Exactly, it's Apple. So, as an Apple user, they like making everything very easy for you, so it couldn't have been easier to set them up. Like most tech devices these days, when you get it, there's a bit of charge already in them. So you don't, you can get kind of started straight away before you do the actual proper charging. You'd get up to about 9 to 10 hours with these if you wanted, but I suspect, you'd want to be an ultra runner or something to really get the use out of them because your ears might start to hurt after a while with the way they kind of go.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the comfort issue with them. Are they comfortable or not?
Yeah, I mean, they are comfortable for the short usage that I was giving them. You know, I wasn't going out pounding the pavements for hours or anything. I find them okay, but I definitely was kind of conscious after a while they were there. What I was most conscious of is that the design of them is really good in that, like, it really goes into your ear and you don't really hear anything else going on. And I kind of don't like that if I'm going to be doing something where there might be traffic or I might be a little bit kind of worried about what's around the place. So they're almost too secure if you're somebody who's a bit kind of conscious of that. Now, you can take one of the earphones out and the other one will still play. The one that you take out won't play. They're very sensitive to, like, if you put them on your desk, they won't keep working. They're very sensitive to kind of movement. They have an accelerometer in them and all the sort of crack. So they are very well designed in that sense. They're great if you have somebody to buy for who is more of an athlete or who wants to be out walking or running. I think these are the kind of ones for them. Or if they're very afraid, they might lose the ordinary ones that don't have the loops over the ears.
Yeah, that would be a concern for me, definitely. Andy O'Donoghue, you've got two pairs. Talk to me first about the Sennheiser one, the Momentum 2 True Wireless Earbuds, because again, these are compatible, I think, aren't they, with both iOS and Android phones?
They are, Matt. And an interesting point that Aoife and Ed both make is about the fit. And I don't know how Ed found wearing them for a long time. Were they comfortable?
They were very light in the ear. And to be fair to Sony, they do come with a wide range of, I don't know what you call the little earbuddy things, for different shaped ear holes.
Yeah, because people have a variety of ear shapes. Yes.
Yeah, that's you'd be surprised.
From ear to ear, even yourself.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah. So it does make a big difference. And the Sony's come with a wide range.
Yeah, okay. And so the Sennheisers are a similar shape to the Sony. And they come in this lovely little wireless charging case, but they're more expensive. I think they're the most expensive headphones that we're talking about at €300. But they are exceptional, truly exceptional.
In what way?
And so the separation of the audio is just remarkable. Mm. And Ed Sony's are really good. I don't know what sort of music Aoife listens to. My opinion about Beats is they tend to be a little bass heavy. So
definitely.
Yeah, so you've got to, if that's your genre, it's not mine, but if that's your genre, they'll work for you. Whereas the Sennheisers, the music separation, the sound stage that they give you is absolutely crystal clear. And again, with the accelerometer, one will stop playing when you take one out. Mm. They are sweatproof. And, you know, Sennheiser, one of the world's great audio brands, they have this remarkable noise cancelling, which is brilliant. So you can lock out that sound. But they have a brilliant feature on the app, which, as Ed said, is becoming increasingly common, that allow you to pass through audio. So if you're running or walking in town, you can hear traffic noise.
Okay, I'm conscious we're already starting to run behind schedule in doing this. So just give me, Andy, one other briefing. You have a Huawei FreeBuds Pro, but is this going to be of any use to somebody who is on an Apple or a Google phone?
It is. Works with both. I've tried it both with other Android and iOS phones. What I love about the FreeBuds Pro is a wireless charging case. And so my Sennheiser doesn't have wireless charging. If you're buying headphones, try to get a wireless charging case. You can pop them beside the bed overnight. You're ready to go.
Okay. Bluetooth speakers. Aoife, start for me, please, with the Sony portable Bluetooth speaker at €149 from Currys PC World.
Yeah, so I'm holding this up so you can see this. It's very big and it weighs quite a bit. It's a very sturdy animal. And we were talking there about the Powerbeats Pro, which I forgot to mention, the headphones are €229 and they're sweatproof, or sweat resistant, should I say. This is something that it's really good if you do like music that has a lot of really good bass to it, or if you're someone who really appreciates the bass end of music. It's also got a party kind of method to it where you turn it on and it flashes loads of different colored lights. So in these days where we have no social lives, if you want to pretend you're in a nightclub, get someone to spill a bit of beer on you, get in the way of the music, shout in your ear, then you can absolutely do this with the Sony X-Brace. It's great crack. I had it on while I was working for a little while yesterday evening, and I was just playing really loud music and it gets very loud. So I really appreciated that. It's €149, which is really good. I have a Sonos at home, which is about €400, which I absolutely adore. And I mean, this, you know, it's much more bassy, but it's still a brilliant option if you don't want to go as high as, say, a Sonos costs.
For briefly, Ed mentioned about waterproof earphones. Is this waterproof? And I don't mean for sitting out maybe on your balcony or in the back garden, but for spilling the aforementioned beer on it as the lights are flashing.
So it's splash proof. So if, you know, you happen to maybe be out in the rain for a few seconds, or if you have a swimming pool in your back garden, I don't know, you might get away with a bit of a splash. But no, don't be kind of submerging yourself in bodies of water with this, because it would not end well, I would imagine.
Okay, Ed, you've got a Google Nest yes. Audio for how much is it? €85.
So just €84.99 from Currys PC World. This is my favourite of the three things I was given to look at for today. Yeah, I don't know. It's a heavy beast. You know, in rugby terms, this is more of a prop compared to Alexa's winger. This is a sturdy beast. And essentially, it does all the things that this is replacing the Google Home, and kind of fits in between the Nest Mini Google Home and the Home Max, which is an absolute beast. So for the price range, this is really a wonderful...
What does it do for you?
So basically, this is for the music lovers. It is essentially, what you're buying here is the sound quality. Some people might think it looks a bit boring, but as we were saying to Andy before, it's made really to blend into its environment. It's, you know, you can get it in grey. And there's no visible buttons on top. You'll have to kind of learn how to touch the top of this
machine.
Isn't
that too by voice command?
Everything's a voice command, obviously, because it's essentially an Alexa, but it's the Google form of that. But what I found with this is that once you get the Google Home app on your phone, which is so easy to use, the setup of this, I would think I was completely set up, ready to go in about 90 seconds. But the sound quality, it is a deep, rich... I had it in the corner of the room, and I went into the kitchen, and I, you know, at even a 50%, it filled my house.
I suspect this could be very popular at Christmas. I know from the figures I'm seeing that digital radio listening has soared this year. I mean, our figures in The Last Word are rocketing upwards.
And that's what I use
people in the kitchen now, instead of turning on the television, just say, play The Last Word on Today FM, and on it comes.
And that's what I use my Alexa for, and my Google now. Hopefully when I get one of these, I will definitely be buying one of these. It is, the sound is, all you have to do is say, Google, hey Google, play The Last Word, and it comes up instantly. I would absolutely hugely recommend it. Again, the setup for this, for anyone who's a bit of a ludder,
and you also have Chromecast on it as well.
Yes, so you can use this, and you can have multiple devices. You can have different Nests through different rooms, and through your Google Home app you can, you know, you can have the same music playing in different rooms. You can also, so if Andy's in the kitchen making my dinner, thanks Andy,
as ever,
and I'm up in the bedroom getting ready for dinner, you know, he likes me to get dressed up, I can speak into my speaker, are we ready yet love, and he'll speak back to me going, just give me 5 more minutes. And so it's, and then
such
also,
polite conversations.
Final thing I will say, if you get the Google Duo app, you can do you can make phone calls if someone else has the app. So if you're on the app, I can just ring Matt Cooper and you'll come through the speaker, and it's really, I just thought this is a wonderful, and for the price it's only $84.99. Hugely recommend.
And if you have two of them, not just in other rooms, but you can get a really good TV sound system with two of them in the room, stereo sound.
Yeah, you can get the TV sound through the speaker, and
we will get
it.
The sound bars later, but that could be an alternative. Love Andy, you have a JBL Boombox portable Bluetooth wireless speaker. From the picture of it, it looks like a big beast, is it?
I am so boombox material. Yeah. the JBL have been making wireless speakers forever. Great, great brand. And this looks like the old-fashioned boombox. And, you know, I think it's a fun device. It's not cheap. It's €250. But it has 24 hours battery life. Water resistant. So, you know, when you're going to the beach, picnics or whatever, or even the back garden, I think this is a spectacular choice if the looks suit you. So you really do need to see it before you buy it. But it has a little auxiliary in cable, and so you can plug something into it to get your audio played out, be it from your phone or another device that doesn't have Bluetooth. And it has a USB and smartphone charging.
And
really
you'd be doing your John Cusack, putting it on your shoulder standing outside a window roaring up at it.
It goes to my tank top.
A bit of Peter Gabriel,
All right, Andy, I'm going to stick with you, because I'd imagine televisions must have been a big thing with so many people this year. I know there's a trend with younger people that they're not watching things on television. They're using their laptops or tablets or whatever. But there still must be a market for good televisions.
There is. And TVs, they evolve about every 2 years, Matt, is when we see a big change in TVs. And this year, the last Sony television that I tested was the Sony Bravia, huge Sony Bravia. And you can still them, and they're still popular, but they're expensive. You know, I think there's an 85-inch version that costs €8,300.
And who's got room for an 85-inch television?
It's massive, absolutely massive. And so if you are thinking about a new telly, Black Friday, New Year's sales, you know, I think there are probably two brands that you're going to get the value from, which are likely to be Samsung and LG.
Okay, you've picked a Samsung 50-inch Smart 4K Ultra HD HDR QLED television.
Yeah, I know, it's a mouthful. What that means...
Remember that when you go into the shop, just off to trip off the top of your tongue.
What that means is, so you've got a 4K picture, so that's really good HD. You've got HDR, which gives you that lovely colour representation of colours on the screens. And QLED is like OLED, but it's a Samsung initiative. And QLED works slightly differently to OLED, but it means that you don't get the deep blacks like you do on OLED, but you get much brighter colours with a QLED. So it depends. The type of TV you watch actually determines what you should buy. But this Samsung 50 is really nice, you know, and it's got the catch-up TV and the 4K streaming.
And I was going to say, it has all the apps as well as like things like Netflix, Amazon Prime. Would it have Apple TV?
Now, it does. I don't think it... yes, it does have Apple TV. Yeah, the Samsung does have Apple TV. So you've got everything all in one, and it's 750 euros. So
nice.
For a 50-inch TV with
good.
QLED, it's really good value.
That sounds very, very tempting. I'm still one of these people, though, when you invest in a television, I like to hang on to it for as many years until it actually goes.
I just bought one a couple of weeks ago. I actually got a Bravia.
Did you?
And yeah. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you have a really expensive one as well, though, Andy. And this is an OLED TV. This is from LG. It's a 65-inch Smart 4K Ultra HD HDR. And it's 2,000 euro.
It is 2,000 euros. Now, there's a 55-inch version, which is smaller. However, I cannot say enough about this television.
Why?
First of all, the sound is remarkable. Do you remember when we started making TVs thinner? There's no room for speakers anymore. So you end up with this tinny sort of, you know, bad sound, essentially. No bass in it. So LG have done a tremendous job with getting great speakers into this. But as you mentioned, Matt, the smart features on this are exceptional. So you have Now TV, you have Netflix, you have Prime Video, and you have Apple TV. Essentially, to buy those devices separately might cost you 500-600 euros. So you've got all of that built into the TV. You just put your credentials in and you've got everything in there. The remote control for the LG has a Prime Video button. And when you hold that down, you can speak to Alexa, and Alexa's built into the telly. And the picture is exceptional because it's OLED, as I mentioned about the deep blacks. If you're a science fiction viewer, this is absolutely exceptional.
And can I ask a quick question? With the sound being so good on the telly itself, do you need a soundbar?
Ed, it's a great, great point. And with this telly, you really don't.
Wow.
Well, give us quickly, because we are way over time, a couple of soundbars, will you?
Okay, great budget soundbars. The Sony RT3 is $239, exceptional value. And the high-end LG have a nice mid-range for 400 euros, and that's the LG 312. One thing, if you're buying a soundbar, look for ARC. Make sure it has an ARC socket, yeah. ARC, audio return channel, which means you can have one cable going from box to telly and for output, so you eliminate a cable and you get much better audio quality.
What about something like the Sonos Arc, which is 900 euro?
Yeah, look, if there are so many Sonos fans out there, and it is 900 euros. This only starts shipping, I think, on the 12th of December. Exceptional 3D sound with Dolby Atmos.
E4A, do either of you feel a soundbar is necessary with a television?
It is with mine, unfortunately. Now, the Bravia was excellent, but I have a Samsung soundbar, and it does give you that extra oomph and that kind of extra power around the room. Yeah,
I don't have one at all, and I've never tried one because my TV is quite old, so I'm way behind you on the TV tech front, but I'd be happy to give one a try at some point next Christmas for the tech review.
I have the Sky soundbar and the difference in sound between it and the
for
television.
Sport,
it just,
yeah,
it just, and music, oh, wow. It just, and movies, it just lifts. Yeah. The sound enormously. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on. Aoife, let's bring you back in because you decided to have a look at a camera for us. A Canon 4000D DSLR camera, which retails at €479 in Curry's PC World. Given that so many people are taking their photographs off their phones and becoming so much better all the time, why a camera?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't really beat, I think, actually having a proper camera as opposed to your phone. You just get, you obviously get so much more out of a proper DSLR because you can do videos as well as images on it. The low light photographs are going to be a trillion times better than you can do on your phone. This is more of like an entry level DSLR. It might not seem cheap, obviously, at $479, but it's kind of like a budget DSLR. You don't really have a lot of bells and whistles on it. It does come with an 18 to 55 mil lens. Now, I really love a 50 mil lens. So I think if someone who wants to kind of get into portraits, wants to start off taking lovely photos of their family, getting a 50 mil lens to add on to this kit would just mean you can do so much more with like the aperture and things like that. You can just get beautiful looking photos. I'm not a massive fan with the, of the kit lens on this, but you can connect to Wi-Fi with it. So like, I have an old version of this from many, many years ago, and it weighs a ton, doesn't have Wi-Fi. They've upgraded to today where you have Wi-Fi and a feather light camera. This weighs barely nothing. Potentially there are some kind of bits that have been turned into plastic that used to be metal to get that feel out of it. But it's a great budget entry level. If somebody in your family, you know, really wants to kind of get started taking photographs away from the iPhone, Canon is an amazing brand. You can't go wrong generally. And you'll start to upgrade from there and add your lenses and get a bit more of a feel for what you want out of a camera. But, you know, it's really nice to start off with.
Andy, you've got a remarkable looking little thing there called the DJI Pocket 2. Tell us about it.
This is one of the best pieces of tech I've reviewed for years, Matt. New out from DJI, who are famous for making drones. And it's called a gimbal camera. And as you and Ed will see, as I move this little device, the lens, the camera doesn't move. So it means, you know, in films when you get that tremendous point of view shot, but the camera seems to move slowly and yet you know someone's running along behind someone. So this captures 4K video. And it costs €370. What it means, though, is that if you're shooting video on your phone, you're going to get the hand jerk movements. With this, you don't. It also has zoom and it has a memory card. And so you can record long movies on board. I've been playing with this for a week. It's absolutely remarkable. But it comes with some incredible accessories. So there's an extension that you can make the handle longer. And it also comes with a wireless microphone so you can do piece to camera shots. So essentially, it's great fun for me running around the garden shooting video. But for somebody, it gets you practically to professional level video with one single device.
That is fascinating.
I was
looking,
wondering what you're waving around. That is this. It's like a toothbrush. Right?
We've been putting pictures of this up on the Today FM Last Word webpage.
I'll tweet
and
that video
it
in a minute
as well.
So you'll see.
Okay,
how
we are
that is.
So running so far out of time. Let's get one last thing, Ed. You've had a look at something which I think looks like remarkably good value as well. The Amazon Echo Show 5. Although you're humming there.
Yeah, this is. I mean, this is one of those things that maybe. It feels like it should have come out 10 years ago and we would have gone, whoa. But this is the Amazon Echo Show 5. It's $54.99 from Curry's PC World.
It's a little tablet,
it's essentially,
it?
No, what essentially it is, it's a fancy alarm clock, Matt, which has an echo out the back of it. The screen itself, you can watch videos from Amazon Prime. If you go onto the browser, you can look at YouTube videos. Why you would, I don't know. It's a handy shade for sitting on your nightstand beside your bed. It has Alexa capabilities. Obviously, you can bark at it and ask it stupid questions, but essentially it is an alarm clock. Some of the nicer features
is that you need an alarm clock if your phone is set to wake up.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, everyone uses their phone for the alarm. One of the things that it has, a nice little feature whereby it'll start getting brighter 15 minutes gradually before your alarm goes off to kind of ease you into.
I didn't really see
the point of it. It is like, it's a nice little gadgety thing to have near the one that you can customize your alarms. And unfortunately, one of the alarms you can wake up to is the voice of Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond, and James May telling you to wake up. Yeah. No,
are there any others that you would suggest, any of these Echoes, Andy, that are better?
Yeah, there's a huge range. So I'd suggest for bedside, the Amazon Dot with clock. Which is, I think, during Black Friday is down to something like €30. And if you want the big screen, if you want to watch the news, buy the Show 8, which is slightly more dear, but a great device.
Andy O'Donoghue, who will be back with us later for further parts of our annual Last Word Gadget Show. Aoife Barry from The Journal, thank you so much for joining us here. And Ed Smith, presenter of Ed's National Anthems, which of course will be on air after 7 o'clock this evening. And so let's go to the next section of our Last Word Gadget Show for 2020. And let's talk about gaming. Let's talk about hardware and also the games themselves. And the reason, Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie, that I want to start with hardware is the release of the PlayStation 5, the PS5. Has it lived up to all the advance hype?
Yes, definitely. I've had a chance to play it now for the last couple of weeks. Well, I mean, for one, is I think it's the fact that when you have a new generation of consoles, there is always this sort of tendency to think, were these advancements actually worth the wait, and were they actually, are they going to make any kind of achievable difference between the previous generation? And I've got the PS4 Pro and a PS5 on my little set right next to each other. And when you switch between the two games, I mean, the features that are in the PS5 compared to the PS4, you just can't compare them. For example, the PS5 has this thing called a solid state storage drive. And basically what that means is that you can pause the game, you can turn off the entire console, you can go do something else, watch Netflix, do whatever. You can come back to that and the game will start up literally instantaneously. There's no waiting around. You're literally straight back into it. And for people like me who, you know, are in their 30s and time is of a factor, and there is that thing of you'll probably think twice about turning on a game or something like that because it'll take you, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. This, it's instantaneous. It comes straight on. Also as well, if your TV is up to it, the PS5 has said that it will have 8K graphics. Now, I should preface that by saying currently there are no games right now that have 8K graphics. But the idea is that this PS5 will last at least 10 years, at least. So, you know, it's basically future-proofing it, if you know what I mean. Like, it's the kind of thing that you will have it for at least 10 years.
Brian, the question I always ask you, though, is it backward compatible with existing games that you have?
It is. Yes, of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you have a PS4, the majority of your games will work for it. And also as well, which I really, really enjoyed, when you log in with your PSN account to the PS5, the list of games that you have will automatically be there. And if you want to play, let's say, Red Dead Redemption 2, or if you wanted to play No Man's Sky, and you have that downloaded on your PS4, you can download it very, very quickly on your PS5 and you'll be ready to play it straight away. And as well, if you've purchased, say, for example, Red Dead Redemption 2, if and when they release an updated version of that for the PS5, a lot of game developers have said that you will automatically get the updated version for your PS5 because you purchased it for the PS4. So that's another big win.
So is it worth the €500 that it costs?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's enough in it. I mean, it's certainly future-proof. The idea behind these next-generation consoles is that...
Looking forward.
Looking forward. This console will be
ready
for 5-6 years.
What about the Xbox X, though, which is its main competitor? That's also new, but that hasn't had half the hoopla about it, has it?
No, and I mean, I think a lot of that is down to the fact that, like, with the Xbox Series X, you also have the Xbox Series S. To be honest with you, I think that's, you know, you go to the US and people won't shut up about the Xbox Series X. Whereas in Europe, the PS5 seems to have a much stronger hold. And that's just the way it is. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, it's because Xbox is from Microsoft, which is American, and PlayStation's from Sony, which is Japanese, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah. But I mean, again, you would think, like, considering the presence that Microsoft has in Ireland, you would think the Xbox would have more of a foothold, if you like. But I mean, no, I mean, to be honest with you, there's very little difference. I know you're probably going to get a lot of calls in for me saying that, but I've played both. I've played this Series X and I've played the PS5. I mean, obviously, the Xbox Series X has sort of higher specs and what have you, and like bigger teraflops and blah, blah, blah. But when you come right down to it, I mean, they're both of the same generation. So really, the difference is just your own personal preference. If you've played, you know, the One X and the 360 and you've just played them all, well, then you'll just get the Series X.
Okay.
If, however, you've had the PS4 and the PS3 and the PS2, well, then it would just follow that you get a PS5. So it's really more about personal preference as opposed to one being better than the other, I find.
And just part of the Last Word Gadget Show for 2020 in association with Curry's PC World, we should mention, for those who don't want a console, who are happy with a smaller handheld device, you have the Nintendo Switch Lite at €259 on your bundle. Tell us a little bit about why that's attractive.
For a lot of people, like we were talking about earlier, time can be a factor. If you're over the age of 30, chances are you've got a very hectic life, and trying to find time to actually play video games becomes more and more precious. So for something like the Nintendo Switch Lite, it's literally, you take it with you, you can pop it out if you're commuting somewhere, or if you have a half hour to yourself. All the games that are on the Nintendo Switch will work on it. So you're talking games like, you know, Breath of the Wild, which is, for my money, one of the best games released in the past 10 years. That'll be on it. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, that'll be on it as well. And just, I mean, at that price point, if you're a casual gamer, if you don't devote all your time and effort to gaming, it's definitely worth a watch.
You have picked out three game recommendations for us. One for one that is not available until the 10th of December. Cyberpunk 2077, which will be available on both PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. What are you expecting out of that?
Well, I mean, the hype around this game has been absolutely incredible. Now, this game was originally supposed to be released, I think it was back in April, and then they had to move it again until October, and then they moved it again to December. But this game was originally announced, I think it was like 7-8 years ago. So this game is a long time coming. It's an RPG, it's an open world RPG set in this sort of futuristic dystopian cyberpunk environment, clearly from the title. This looks incredible. If you've looked at any of the trailers for it, it is fantastic. The actor Keanu Reeves has a big role to play in the game. He plays this character called Johnny Silverhand. And it's based on this tabletop game that was very, very popular in the 90s. For me, this is the game I've been looking forward to all year, so I'm really excited to see how this goes.
The one that's available only on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, Spider-Man Miles Morales. What is this?
Yeah, this is the, I suppose, I wouldn't call it necessarily a sequel, but I suppose it's the next chapter, if you like, in the Spider-Man game that was released last year. And this is basically an update of the game with the new character Miles Morales. It's one of the launch titles that went with the PS5, and this is the game I've been playing the most, I'd say, since I got the PS5, and it is beautiful. The photo mode that's in it, that's where you can actually pause the game and take pictures of it, look incredible. And it's gotten great reviews as well. Like, it's a really strong update from the original Spider-Man game. So if you enjoyed the Spider-Man game, I definitely recommend this.
And is this one that, if you love New York City, that you really get into?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. New York City is life size in the game. So like, when you're swinging through like Central Park and over onto Fifth Avenue, it's life size. Like, I mean, it really does feel like you're zooming right through New York. And for myself, who loves New York, if you can't get to travel there this year, this is your best way to go, I think.
Yeah, we won't. Okay, yeah. That appeals to me. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is your final selection, and this is available across all platforms, the latest in a lengthy series.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And this is actually a little interesting point about this. The first downloadable content season pass for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, there'll be an extended section of the game set in Ireland, which I think is brilliant, because I think this might be the first game, I think, that's been set in Ireland other than that terrible Gaelic Games game that was out, God, in, what was it, 2005, 2006. But yeah, so this is set in the world of the Vikings. You play this character called Eivor, who is trying to reunite Norway under his banner. I've been playing this for the last week and a half. It's very, very enjoyable. Quite a departure from the previous Assassin's Creed games, which have been more about stealth. This is actually more closer to an RPG. Looks gorgeous. The music is incredible. That's one thing I would always say about Assassin's Creed. They've always had brilliant music in it. It's really, really atmospheric. Yeah, this is a really enjoyable game.
Thank you very much, Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie, for doing our gaming section on today's Last Word Gadget Show for 2020 in association with Curry's PC World. Our tech expert, Andy O'Donoghue, has come back into us. And we're also joined now by Alison Healy, Head of Digital here at Today FM, and by Lorcan Nyan, Head of Training at the Communications Clinic. So we've lots to get through. And I'm going to start with tablets with you, Alison, because you have been looking at the Samsung Galaxy Tab A 10.5-inch tablet.
Yeah, so there's no secret, I'm Apple through and through, and I've tried to be tempted by other devices always at this time of year when you hand me stuff to review. And I've never quite made the jump. I always say, God, yeah, I was really impressed by that. And then I go home and the thought of living without Apple just fills me with dread. And I never make the jump. And I'm absolutely going to promise to make the jump this year, because the Samsung Galaxy Tab A is, for the price point of $179, for me, the best tablet out there. It blows the iPad out of the water. Now, okay, if you're a big gamer, maybe you'd notice the lag and the battery life and just bits and bobs around the chip. But for me, day to day, I use it for what everybody uses it for Netflix, for social media, for scrolling. And I cannot fault it. It is superb. I got.
What about compatibility with your phone and other apps? Because I am thinking of a new tablet. It's probably required partly for work reasons as well. And I'm thinking of getting a good Apple to go with my phone and with my laptop.
Why? Why do you need your tablet to talk to your phone?
Convenience.
But what are you?
Familiarity.
Because you're so important. You're Matt Cooper. You're so important. You have to. You're a busy businessman, and you have to be constantly, always on, plugged in. No,
this is going to go well, Alison.
listen. This is really what you have to think about. Apple wants you to think that you're codependent to within an inch of your life.
Yeah.
Right, and you're not. You can happily have an Apple phone, which is just going to stop working after 2 years anyway, and you can have a Samsung tablet, and you can live happily ever after. Reader, it is absolutely fine. You're not tied to within a device, and because of that, when you have that freedom, you realise that you've got 300 quid extra to play with in your pocket. You could buy 3 or 2.5 of these tablets for an iPad.
That's a fair point. I'll tell you something that's a great value, and Lorcan, you're with us as well, to Lorcan 9 for the Communications Clinic. You've had a look at the Amazon Fire 7 tablet, and I got one a couple of years ago on the basis of a recommendation on this show. I don't know what generation it was. It might have been a Fire 5. One of the best investments I've ever made. And I can't believe that the new edition, 16 gigabits Fire 7, is only €39 at Currys PC World. What'd you get for that?
Yeah, it's incredibly cost effective. And look, but I think when you're looking at it, the way I always try to look at tablets when I'm looking at them, and there's probably two different types. One would be one that's almost a replacement for your laptop, or you use if you don't want to break out the laptop and has that power in the screen, etc. And then other ones that are maybe a more supercharged phone, or in this case, kind of a very, very fancy Kindle. And I think that's what you're looking at when you're looking at the Amazon on Fire. I mean, it's very, very good. It's incredibly cost effective. You're not going to, have a huge amount of calls on it. You're not going to use it every single day, but as an entertainment tool, I think it works very, very well. What I noticed most when I was using it, it's my first time using an Amazon Fire tablet, is just how attached and linked in you get to everything that Amazon do without even noticing that that's happening. So the second you set it up, I realized, look, yeah, geez, I didn't even kind of really fully grasp that. I'm a member of Audible, which is Amazon for ebooks. I do have a Kindle, and I link up with a Kindle. I have an Amazon Echo as well. And I think there's a lot of talk about not using Amazon and buying local, and I try to do all of that. But then you realize, geez, they're kind of insidiously, they're in your life consistently. And I did notice that with this, and I did also notice that.
Yeah, you end up buying a lot of books. I find myself buying a lot of books on it.
You buy a lot of books, and then after about 3 swipes, it kind of you're in the shop, and you didn't even know how you got there. That there's the shop tab. And you're like, oh geez, this thing is perfectly tailored to what I was talking about yesterday.
Yep.
So I can see why they go in low with their price, because they have your eyeballs.
That's the price, €39. Like, buy and sell me for €39. That you can't go wrong with that, to buy a device for 39 quid.
Andy, I thought tablets were supposed to be going out of fashion, but they're not really, are they? They're very useful things.
The resurgence, Matt, and a couple of years ago people thought that phones were getting bigger, which they're still getting bigger. But tablets, I mean, I've got a new iPad here, and like you, I use it all the time now. But I also have a Fire tablet, and there is no better value tech. And that was 2 years ago, Matt, I think on this show we talked about the value.
Well, actually, we did talk about it 2 years ago on the show, and then I went to buy it after the show and it was sold out. So actually, before we went on air today, I bought it.
Did you?
Bought it. I made sure, because it's for me, it was the best buy over the last couple of years.
Okay, let's go to laptops as well. Andy, I'm going to ask you to do the first laptop. You're looking at a HP Pavilion. Tell us about this one.
Why I like it, Matt, is it's 2-in-1. So it's kind of laptop and tablet all in one. So this answers a lot of, say, the last 5 minutes, what we've been talking about. And HP, everybody knows the brand. But why I like it, it's really, really quick. Lovely screen. It's got an Intel Core i5. So good processor. This particular model for 769, 8 gigabytes of RAM, which is enough. 16 pro users would want, but it comes with 256 gigs of storage, which is plenty, 512. So you can upgrade this or buy the next version up, but it's got a full HD touchscreen. So you've got a laptop, a tablet, and it's got that lovely full HD touchscreen. It's really nice value for 769.
That's the Pavilion X360. It's 14 inch, which is big for a sort of a tablet.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It?
Yeah.
Okay. Lorcan, you also looked at a HP, but this was a straight up 14 inch laptop.
Yeah, straight up, kind of standard as they come. I think laptop, when you picture a laptop, I think this is exactly what you picture. I'm also a Mac user for the last maybe 4 or 5 years. I've been very, very devoted to my Mac. I don't think I'll be changing based on my experience here, if only because I've been indoctrinated into the habits that a Mac brings you into, and I'm kind of doubting my own intelligence about how difficult I find it to then switch over to a new system where I can see that something is in a different place, and yet my hand still automatically goes to the left of the screen instead of the right of the screen because that's what I'm now used to. I'm kind of the basic user of something. I know this is a 10th generation Intel Core processor, and I've been told for a long time what those are, and I still don't fully understand it. And so I'm more basic in my reviews. All I care about at the moment when I'm looking at tech is their webcam, because I'm looking at myself all day, every single day. I want to be looking at my best. I do a lot of presenting to the screen, and the webcam here is grand. It's about the same level as my old Mac. It's not brilliant. It's fine. And I think if I was investing in something new now, I would be massively, massively looking at the new tech that's so important to us, which is probably a slightly better camera, and that when I'm presenting, you know, professionally or whatever, I now use my iPhone on a tripod because that camera is just, it's just at a totally different level.
That's a very interesting point. Alison, you wanted to jump in on that. I know you didn't do any laptops for us, but the camera issue is one that you're just, your eyes perked up there.
Yeah, and that, I think when you're weighing it up, we're talking about a home office here, that is a very, very good point. If you're going to invest on Black Friday and you're investing into your own home office setup, that's a huge consideration for 2021, because the way we work has totally changed. And who wants to look at a selfie-facing front camera on a dodgy tablet and you're looking at yourself thinking, I should have brought the laptop.
Okay, well, actually, you have one other laptop. I actually have my own MacBook Pro open here in front of me, Andy. You've been looking at, I think, slightly cheaper, aren't they, the MacBook Airs?
MacBook Air is sort of, you know, it's one of those kind of idyllic designs that Apple have managed to hone over the years. Why it's really important this year is in the last month, Apple have released a new MacBook Pro and a new MacBook Air. Now, they, for the first time, use a CPU. So the brain of the computer is now made by Apple, this M1 chip. And it is incredible engineering. And so much so, what they've been able to do is remove the fan, so the computer no longer makes any noise. Absolute silence. Whereas, you know, when you're gaming or even, you know, charging, you'll often hear your fan making noise. Yeah. Gone. And they've also increased the battery life. Battery life of the MacBook Air is now 18 hours, which is astonishing. So if anybody is staying, and say Lorcan, if staying in the Apple camp, when you're buying a laptop from Apple over the next year, make sure, push yourself that little bit of extra budget and get the new ones with the M1 chip.
Andy, I want to stay with you because you're the only person here that's had a look at printers for at home. And as I was saying, I was on with Dave Moore this morning on the Dermot and Dave show. Printers have me driven demented at home and the whole family. Those, the demands for things to be printed out and the amount of times they seem to go, the Wi-Fi isn't connecting with the printer, or they're not printed. I mean, can you give me... Well, I have bought one recently, so you're going to have to give me recommendations too late for me.
Printers have always been torturous. You know, we all know that guy in the tank top in the IT department in offices around the country. And that's all he does is just fix printers all day because they've never worked properly. Well, for years they didn't. However, HP, big name in printing. And like you, Matt, I needed to get a proper printer for at-home printing during lockdown. So the HP Envy, the 6032, why I like it, it's a nice size and it does up to 10 pages per minute, and it does automatic double-sided printing, which is a really great idea. It's €70. The other thing I'd say for people thinking about buying a printer, so there's a good chance you're going to be at home a lot over the next 6 months, but you're going to be going back to the office. So a mobile printer is something that I really have my eye on. And the Canon Pixma is a little mobile printer. So it's Wi-Fi, but it's you can buy a battery extension. So you pop it in your bag and you bring it with you and you can print on the go.
How heavy is it?
It's not heavy, Alison.
How heavy is it, Andy?
No, it's it's not heavy. It's much lighter than it's same weight as your tablet, a little bit more.
Okay.
That kind of weight. But you get wireless printing, and it means, I think it's a brilliant idea for like printing boarding passes whenever we can travel again. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
On the move, stick it in your bag. Really nice idea to have in the boot.
I'd argue, right? What are we printing these days? Is it not all null and void? Like, boarding passes, fair enough, but you've got mobile swipe. Like, what?
It's a good point. And, you know, because of that, one of the things, you know, people always give out about the price of printer cartridges. So I signed up during lockdown. I signed up for the HP Instant Ink. I think it's $2.99 a month. that I pay, and they send me cartridges when I start to run out. So I'm on the cheapest plan, but it means I'm never overbuying ink. I'm not wasting money, and I just get new cartridges when they arrive if I do need to print stuff.
Okay, I'm going to get to phones in a moment, but there's actually something that I hadn't anticipated we'd be doing, but I think it's really great that we are, and that's coffee machines. And Lorcan, you have had a look at the De'Longhi Authentica bean-to-cup coffee machine. It looks in the photograph absolutely beautiful. Tell us about it.
It's absolutely gorgeous. It's massive, though. And I know on reviews I've read that it is one of the more streamlined versions of it, but it is a significant piece of kit. So you'd want to have a large enough kitchen that it's not dominating the entire space. But look, if you're a coffee lover, this will be your absolute dream. It's bean to coffee, so it grinds for you like in a barista. You can change the dials, you can change the type, so you can get your taste. It allows you to smugly walk into coffee shops and talk about the different roasts and the beans because you're able to bring them home and to show off in that way. Now, that being said, when you're working from home, it is a loud, loud machine. I don't know if anybody remembers, you know that scene in Father Ted where they get the tea master for Mrs. Doyle and it kind of reverberates around. It really struck me as that I'd probably prefer to go off my little walk, get my cup of coffee, spend that extra bit of money, which according to a lot of people tell me I'll never afford a house because I'm buying a coffee every day. But, you know, I'd prefer that than the noise that this makes. The coffee coming out of it is nice. I probably don't know enough of what I'm talking about. I did enjoy the smug conversations, though.
How much does this cost?
It costs €419.
And it's a big, you need space in your kitchen to be able to accommodate it.
You'd want a fair rack of space. It would be your biggest keep out appliance is how I would describe it. So and you'd obviously want to keep it out.
Does it come with a nozzle if you want to make cappuccinos and lattes and stuff to actually steam the milk and stuff?
It does. It comes with a steamer attached to it. It is self-cleaning as well, which I believe is a useful thing to it. You can make two cups of coffee at once. I mean, it's a significant piece of kit and it does smell gorgeous. Your house will smell beautiful. Yeah. Any space within it.
1.4 litre capacity, which is quite good as well. Okay, Alison, you went for a cheaper version. You got an espresso. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so at the start of lockdown one, I live for takeaway coffees. I know you do too, Matt. And when they took my coffee,
when they came and took my coffee,
I was so quick on to Curry's and I ordered as soon as I could an espresso machine for my house and. I've moved since and it was the first, like I put it lovingly in the front seat, you know, and belted it in. It is my prized possession and it's a cheap version of the one that I got to review for today, which is the Magimix Verturo Next coffee machine. First of all, this is a beautiful looking machine. There are rose gold finishes. It's very fancy pants. And it comes with the pods, the newer, bigger size pods. So, sorry, first of all, Nespresso is very intelligent. I was thinking, God, there's only one button on it to, how are they going to know if I want a small coffee or a big cup? It knows intuitively from the pod that you put in it. This machine is more clever than I am. Cleverer?
Oh, no, never.
I think I've just made my own point there. And then the taste. I mean, I know that you can, you know, do all your fancy work and pretend you're a barista and it's a really loud machine. It's €419. And DeLonghi have that in the bag. But for €119, this is a real contender for a keep out piece of kit in your kitchen. It is beautiful to look at, gorgeous coffee, and you're not getting it back.
Okay. Talk to the producers. Okay, Andy, let's move to phones. And we had a listener getting in touch earlier saying he wanted to get phones under €200 for his teenage children, new phones. Can you really get that? Or should you consider, and this is not something we planned, even getting a second-hand phone or whatever, reconditioned, putting a SIM card in it?
Yeah, you can certainly do that. And but, you know, there are decent phones that you can buy. Huawei have a good entry-level range. Moto, their range also. The Google Pixel 4 is a little bit dearer, but also worth going. But so you can, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you looked at another Google, the Pixel 5. And tell us a little bit about this.
Why I think the Pixel 5 is worth mentioning is because it's Google's hero phone. It's now 5G and it's €629, which is roughly half the price of, say, an Apple or a Samsung headline hero product. But it's excellent 5G. And the thing about the Pixel is that their cameras are always superb. And you will get superb pictures day or night. So it's $629 on prepay. It's really good value. And you get a lot of the features that you get on more expensive phones. So if, you know, who wants to pay €1,000 for a phone or more? None of us really do. And this is a good option, Matt.
Well, we did give Alison a phone which costs €1,100 to review, the Huawei P40 Pro. And what did you make of it?
You can keep it. You know that back in 2019, the whole Huawei entity list thing with Google, and there was the Trump thing, and it was a whole what. And anyway, it resulted in the fact that Huawei cannot hold Google on any of their devices because it's a US company. So I read a review that the Huawei isn't water resistant enough, and that must be because of users' tears. Because I had this phone, and your producer said, you have to use these things, you know, for a couple of days, really get a feel for them, be confident when you're talking about them. And I felt like I had both my arms tied behind my back the whole time. It's hard enough to go from Apple to Android. Your lifeboat for doing that is your Google, because everybody has Google, and you've got your Gmail and your YouTube and your Google Play Store for the apps. And because Google is not compatible, and actually you can't have it on this phone, you've nothing. I opened up a browser and I got Bing. What's a Bing? And then I couldn't get the apps I needed. Banking, you cannot bank on these phones because the security banks, the security processes that happen with the Google Play Store don't apply to Huawei's own app store. So you can't have Revolut, you can't have AIB or Bank of Ireland or any of those banking apps. And it's really difficult to navigate your way around a phone. And okay, look, it's the most stunning camera I've ever seen. But what's the point when I can't show anybody my photos
because
I can't
talk
to anyone?
It's an interesting point. And so there are Huawei will make the case, and you can use the you can use a lot of the features, you know, and replicate what you're trying to do without Google services, and you know, even YouTube, you know, putting it as a shortcut on the desktop. However,
for €1,000, Andy, I don't want to.
Alison, your point's a great one, and hopefully, with a new administration and you know, the trade agreement, Huawei will not be restricted like this in the future.
Very briefly, tell us, you want a quick mention to the Galaxy X Fold 2.
This is the future in his hand, Matt.
I just have to mention this, Matt.
We will put a picture of this up on our Twitter feed and online. Like, we're already putting all the details of the products up online as well.
I tweeted a video of it, and I was watching a video with Maradona earlier on. And it's a pleasant phone to look at. Thin, sleek, lovely screen. But the magic happens.
Oh, it folds out. Oh, and it turns into like a little mini television.
It is absolutely breathtaking.
And it was folded in
seamless.
Half.
Absolutely. And then if we just put a little bend in it and pop it up on the desk, you can watch it almost like a television.
What size is that?
When it's 7.2 inches, I think, when it's folded out, and 6.2.
How much does that cost?
It's €2,100.
It was going great until you gave me the price.
Hang on a second.
However, Alison has 12 reasons why everyone should buy one.
Andy, that sound. No. It felt like, I said, can I try it myself? And it really felt like the future was in my hands. I was shaking. I really didn't want to take a hold of it.
You were a little bit queasy.
Yeah, but it is hands down I think the best gadget I've ever seen.
It's astonishing. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Lorcan, I think you're out of goodies at the moment to review for us, so you've been hanging on patiently. Do you have anything else?
I was about to give out that you didn't give me a phone, and then you talked it was worth 2,000. I've smashed my own screen twice in the last 24 hours. So I'm actually now particularly glad you gave me the €40 tablet and not the €2,000 phone.
Excellent. Tell us about the iRobot vacuum with Alexa, please, Andy.
Home office. So, yeah. You know, everybody is, you know, we're wearing our houses more than we used to. And so I got an iRobot, and it connects to Alexa. And so sitting at home, when instructed to clean the house, I can do clever things like, say, Alexa, hoover the house. And she does.
The future is here.
And
guys,
it's tremendous. They start at about €250 for a decent iRobot. If you want to add the Alexa features, you need to spend a little bit more. But they hold the good-sized tray in them, and they charge.
Does it do a good job on it?
It does an excellent job, and it's really good on carpet as well as wooden floors.
And tell us about the air purifier that you have.
I mentioned this back to you in the summer, and this has absolutely transformed my living room, believe it or not. So again, it connects to Alexa, and so you can tell her to turn it on and off. But what it does is it purifies the air so much that it's crisp And I just think, you know, having the window open, you don't want to. Maybe you got hay fever, all of that kind of stuff, and particularly coming into the winter. So it purifies purifies the room, and it has a HEPA filter, and you only need to buy about two a year for about €300. Really tremendous job, particularly for, you know, given we're considering our health and safety.
Alison, there are listeners saying they have Huawei phones and they can get all those apps off.
Sorry, I knew you'd get this. First of all, you can, but you have to do it in a really hacky way. And when I asked Google, because I couldn't ask my phone, so I had to go on my laptop, what I should do, they said, oh, hack into the mainframe and you can totally cheat it. And I thought, oh, Curry's would never forgive me if I did something illegal. So I dropped it like a hot potato and I won't be picking it back up.
Alison Healy, thank you so much for being with us, Head of Digital here at JFM, and Lorcan Nine for the Communications Clinic as well. Rana Parkins from Ireland AM on Virgin Media Television has joined us with Andy O'Donoghue, and we're going to talk about smartwatches and fitness trackers first. Before I talk to Brianna, Andy, we don't have any Apple Watches on the list here, and there's been a few people getting in touch asking about them. Why do we not put one in?
We talked about them pretty recently when they launched their new watch, which was an improvement, and they remain sort of probably not the most expensive or close to it. They would be. And do they remain the best smartwatch? I suppose they remain the best all-round device, but because of battery life and other considerations, people are looking at other watches like Fitbit and Huawei and Samsung.
Well, let me start with the Samsung Galaxy Watch. Brianna, describe this, because I'm looking at it and it's not the face on it that you would necessarily expect from a smartwatch, is it?
No, I was completely surprised by this. Like, I was actually able to wear this on air. It didn't look like a smartwatch. You can actually change the face of it. So the face of it looks like it's just a normal watch, but it's actually just a really, really well-rendered digital image. And you can slide it across again and again until you find one that you like. So you can match it to outfits, but not just style-wise. You can change it for your needs. So you can set it to like a calendar setting that tells you how many minutes you have until the next meeting. It will tell you your steps. It will tell you the weather, whatever you want. I just found this watch to be really, really functional. And I'm not a smartwatch girl at all.
Okay, and tell us what it can actually do for you as well. And is it compatible with your phone if you have, for example, iOS or Android?
Yeah, like I've only ever had iPhones, so I was a little bit skeptical because you know that Apple can be a bit of a walled garden and they make it as hard as possible to wear anything else that isn't Apple compatible. But I found no problem setting it up. It was actually too easy to set up. It onboards way too many apps quite easily. I actually had a really embarrassing experience where it had synced with a menstrual tracker, and in the middle of a meeting, I got an alert telling me that it was my fertile window, which is... So watch out for that if you have one of those.
I did not expect that. Okay.
Too easily to set up. But other than that, it's again, I found it really easy to use, and it's great. And I thought, you know, what was the point of smartwatches, when you have a smartphone? I just thought it was kind of like, you know, just a bit of a techie guy show-offy thing to own. But yeah, it made me a lot more organized. It made me track my runs, and unfortunately let an interviewee know about my menstrual cycle accidentally. So
okay,
there you go.
Fair enough. Andy, you don't have any stories like that, do you, to tell us about your Huawei G2 Pro smartwatch?
My fertility window doesn't come into this test. But like Brianna, I mean, I initially was... I like an analog watch, and so I've always been kind of reluctant to think, oh, I'll wear a smartwatch all the time. But now I do, and I wear the Huawei GT2 Pro all the time. This is slightly more outdoorsy in its focus, and it has a lot of workout modes, including golf and skiing. And apparently, if you're a golfer, it measures your swing speed and that sort
really?
Of activity. Yeah, it's very clever.
Now you're getting me interested.
But and then again, like the Samsung, has Bluetooth calling, and you can take your calls on it. However, it does have 24-hour heart rate tracking, which is an excellent feature. And it also does blood oxygen level. So the SpO2 setting that people will see, which some watches are now doing, is also there. So you're starting to see this kind of move into health wearables, and they'll call it a sports watch. But I think the demographic for this is probably a little bit older, and people who are exercising and wanting to keep an eye on their health. But I, like Brianna, I find it incredibly useful.
Brianna, we gave you the Fitbit Charge 4, which is one of the more budget options. What did you make of this?
Look, I'm the most sedentary person you could have got to try out exercise geared smartwear. And I found the Fitbit to be really needy. Like, it would buzz me, you know, I feel like half an hour intervals telling me that I was too sedentary, which can be really helpful or really anxiety inducing, depending on your mood on the day. The interface wasn't great. The face of it and the look of it just felt like I was wearing like one of those Tamagotchis from the 90s. I didn't really enjoy using it at all. And this is, again, a niche problem, but I'm one of the population that has tiny wrists. So the face of it just sat really uncomfortably across my wrist. I got the housemate to try it out as well. She had the same difficulty. It just wasn't comfortable to wear. But if you are something like an athlete, if you're doing marathons, if you're just one of those sociopaths that likes to post their runs up on social media, you know, this is your watch. It wasn't really aimed towards people like me, in fairness. But I just found, compared to the Samsung, it just was a bit joyless.
This is €129 at Curry's PC World. A more expensive one for €329 there from Fitbit is the Sense Health Watch. This, I think, is their premium product at the moment, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And they describe it as a health watch. Just, Brianna, did you like the Fitbit app?
Not really. Again, I've been using other tracker apps for my own runs, and I just found the Fitbit app to be like not that great, for when you're paying that much money to use a device.
And I
found free apps to be just as good.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because as part of the Fitbit Sense, Matt, I got a trial of Fitbit Premium. And so the watch itself looks quite like an Apple Watch. This is their latest, best watch they've ever made, has Fitbit Pay on it. Battery life is more than 6 days, so that's really good in a health watch. But the Fitbit Premium app is actually really, really good. And so it's interesting to hear what Brianna says. The standard version, this new version, is brilliant. Couple of features on this. It does heart rate monitoring as well, has GPS, but it also does skin temperature tracking. And so all of this is designed around giving you a more sort of insightful view of your health. But I do think if you're buying a Fitbit, Fitbit Premium is probably worth the investment.
Okay, I've only got time for another couple of products. We have, Andy, loads of smart health products, but you know what we're going to do? We'll wait until Tech Tuesday next Tuesday and we'll go through them, things like toothbrushes and blood pressure monitors and stuff like that. The competition winner is Caroline O'Donovan. You win that fantastic bundle which has been put together by Curry's PC World. Enjoy it. I'll be amazed if you don't. The correct answer, of course, was Argentina. Okay, your last product, Brianna, that you looked at was an Amazon Kindle Paperwhite 8 GB. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so I've been a complete troglodyte when it comes to Kindles. I am one of those people who insists on lugging around a suitcase full of books when they're on holidays, because I just find, I don't know, Kindles, like, I was always a bit skeptical, like, can you see them in the sun when you're reading, you know, outside on the beach reading? This thing converted me. It's so light, it's so comfortable to hold, and again, going back to my tiny hands, minority people, it's actually really comfortable to hold in one hand, which I've struggled with iPads and other devices. So for women or anyone else with small hands, this is for you. It's so lightweight. The display is great. You get a great battery life out of it. The thing I like, though, is you could switch between reading and then listening to your book. So at first I was a bit skeptical, like, okay, I have Audible, I can already listen to books. But what this does is, if you're reading at home, then have to go out and leave, it picks up from the exact same spot and then will play in your headphones. And when you come back, you can switch seamlessly back into reading.
And if it's from somebody with small hands, perfect for Donald Trump, then will he be able to read, though, is the issue after that. You've got 30 seconds for your last one, which is an extraordinary one. Audio sunglasses.
Huawei's Gentle Monster audio sunglasses, Korean design, and they have speakers built into the arms. No buttons. You slide your fingers up and down the arms, listen to your music, take and make calls. I think they look better on Alison than they did on me. But there are other models, and even with prescription lens, it's a great idea.
Listen, Andy O'Donoghue, Brianna Parkins, thank you very much. Daniel Cal put this all together. He's the man who gets all the applause from us for his production work on today's programme.
The Last Word Gadget Show with Matt Cooper
and Curry's PC World. See the full range online at curry's.ie.